All right. How many of you are glad to be ready to get into the Word of God today? All right. That's over half, so we're in good shape. All right. Take our Bibles today. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And I know some of you, you just don't show much emotion when you're in church. So, but as long as, you know, as long as you can, like, watch a football game or watch something you enjoy and you don't show emotion there either, then it's all good because some people are just that way. But if you can show emotion for your football team, you can show emotion for the Lord a little bit, right? It's all good. So Ephesians chapter number 2, this is one of the great passages of Scripture, and today we're in verse 10, but before we get to verse 10, I want to read through the beginning verses just because I want to lay the correct foundation for the message today. We're talking about discovering our purpose, and a lot of times if we want to discover what our purpose is, Ephesians 2:10 describes our purpose, and we'll get there in a few minutes. Look with me, and let's read Ephesians 2, verse number 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins." He's made us alive. That's what the word quickened means. It says, "Wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we," do you see that word, "we all"? That leaves none of us out. "We all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were in a bad spot, dead in our sins, and everything changes in verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy." Aren't you grateful that God not only has mercy, but that he's rich in mercy? I'm glad he's rich in mercy. "For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead," even when we were still without him. Because he knew, this is the thing, God has this thing called foreknowledge. Do you know that? God knows everything from the beginning to the end. So it's not that God picks and chooses who he's going to save. It's God in his foreknowledge knows who's going to trust him already. That's the difference. And so it says there, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved." And verse 6 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Did you know the verbiage of that verse literally means that we are seated in heavenly places right now? Say, "Well, I'm seated in church." I know this is close to heaven on this side of heaven you're going to get, but in heaven our place is reserved. It's there. It's settled. It's done. Already there for us. What a blessing that is. And people ask me for a long time, and only a while back did I really get it. What's heaven going to be like? Verse 7 explains what heaven's going to be exactly. Look in verse 7. It says, "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." There's heaven. That's what heaven's going to be. God showing us his kindness and all those things and the exceeding riches of his grace. Verse 8 makes it clear, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's amazing to me, and I'll never get over the fact that a dead man like me could get saved. How could something dead live? I could water these plants up here, and they're not going to change. They're all dead. And yet, by God's grace, that, you know, we say, "Well, I trusted Christ." No, you couldn't do anything. You don't have faith. You're dead. So the faith and grace given to us, they are gifts from God. God gave us those. So salvation has nothing to do with you and I. It has to do with Christ completely. There comes a point where we must receive it or reject it. That's the part we play. But getting it to us is all God. And then there's that free will. So, "Well, I don't know about free will." If there's no such thing as free will, don't put the tree in the garden. If the tree wasn't in the garden, then man doesn't have a free will. Adam and Eve chose to sin against God. And there comes a point where we have to choose Christ. But the steps to get us to that point is all God. Then we see verse 10, our purpose. "For we are his workmanship." You and I belong to him. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, then this verse doesn't apply to you. because you need to get born again and begin there. Then this verse applies to you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And for a few minutes this morning, I want to look at the fact of, as we discover our purpose, being God's masterpiece. Father, I pray that you bless the next few minutes that we have this morning. And Lord, as we dive into this message, pray that you'd help us and guide us. We need you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In my office, I've kind of decorated around America and patriotic things. And I saw this picture the other day that I'm like, this is another picture I need to add to my office. Some of my favorite presidents. We have Washington, Lincoln, Reagan, and there's one more that I really like too, but I don't know that I'm going to say the name so I don't offend anybody in this room, but he'll be inaugurated in a few days. But anyways, so Reagan is one of my favorites. So I'm going to put him in my office, and he did a lot of great things for our nation in the time being. Well, this is a portrait that someone made. It's a masterpiece. Someone took the time. It's even got the certificate of authentication on the back. I don't know if it's real or not in that realm, but at the end of the day, someone took the time to paint this and to make this. This is their masterpiece. You notice it says there we are his workmanship. The word workmanship comes from a word that where we get the idea of a poem or something composed or something constructed. So maybe, you know, someone builds a building. That's their workmanship. Someone paints a picture. That's their masterpiece. Someone spends time and puts it all together. And the thing you got to realize this morning is that God made you and you are God's masterpiece. God created all things, right? So as we dive into the message this morning, we see, number one, that we are God's workmanship. The Bible says it pure, plain, and simple. Not much more I could say or add to that right there. You think about this. The word workmanship, it refers to any finished work of art, whether a statue, a song, a poem, or painting. And this emphasis takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? In the beginning, God created everything. So in all reality, let's get something straight. God created everyone, right? So we are all his workmanship. Even those that are not saved are his workmanship because he made everyone, right? But that's why the next few words are so important, which we'll look at in a few minutes. But before we dive deeper into this, Michelangelo was once asked what he was doing when he was chipping away at a shapeless rock. And his reply was this, "I'm liberating an angel from this stone." And likewise, God is producing in us, and God has made a masterpiece when he made you. You're an original. You're a one of a kind. No one else has the same fingerprints you have. There is no one like just you. God made you special just the way you are. The Bible's clear on this. The Bible talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 6, "Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee?" Bible tells us in Psalm 100 in verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he, God, that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Bible tells us in Isaiah 43:21, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." Isaiah 60 verse 21, "Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." Zephaniah 3 verse number 17, "The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." As we look at these verses, I had someone ask me back in October, the question was, why is it, Pastor, that some people serve God? And why is it that people don't serve God? What draws people in, or what gets people to serve the Lord? And I spent a lot of time thinking on that thought and where to go with that thought. And you got to understand something, that people will serve God when they fall more in love with the Master. Because service is an outflow of a growing relationship with Him. You know, this is what it comes down to. A lot of times in our churches, what happens is we do to get our being and who we are. Where you need to know who you are in Christ to do the work. A lot of Christians find their satisfaction and find who they are by what they do instead of finding it in Christ. And you want to have a long time serving the Lord and get it right, you need to know who you are in Him and then do. That's what Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. If Paul was doing it for himself or doing it for position or whatever the case may be, he probably would have stopped long before the third shipwreck or long before all the things that happened in his life. But Paul said, the love of Christ, it constrains me. And the love that the Lord has for us and what God's doing in our lives, I would just encourage you today, servants serve because they're devoted to their Master. That's the way it works. What we do must flow out of who we are. We must understand who we are before we're going to serve. That's why you got to understand, you come this first month as we go through this series, oh, Pastor, it's so warm and gushy and it just makes me feel so good. I'm not trying to make you feel good about yourself. I'm trying to help you realize that what God's done and who you are in Him, and when you realize where you are and who you are in Him, then you're going to be more, you're going to serve Him more. You're going to stay devoted to Him more. Because we don't do it because we have to. I don't serve today. I don't pastor today because I have to pastor. I serve because God called me to do it, and I love Him, and I want to do what He's called me to do. After all that He's done and where He's placed me, it's only reasonable that I can live for Him. Sounds like something Paul said, right? That's what we need to understand. There's a book called The Imitation of Christ. And in that book, Thomas Kempis penned these words. He said, prop yourself up with and for Christ. If you wish to live for Christ, if just once you could perfectly enter the inner life of Christ, and experience a little of His compassionate love, then you would not care at all about what you might gain or lose in life. Friends, church members this morning, let His love for you and your response to Him become the motivation for your ministry. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 63:6. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. We see number one this morning, we are His workmanship. But there's a difference between those that are saved and unsaved. Those that are saved leads to number two, we are a new creature in Christ. You see, it says we are His workmanship. Then it says created in Christ Jesus. Do you see that there? The first thing we got to settle is that we are His workmanship, God's masterpiece. Now we see the word created here. The word created means to bring something into existence. If you and I are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not only His masterpiece, but you have been made a new creature. The Bible tells us 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man or woman, it covers everybody, be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Paul penned this in Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You see, so many times we look for the outer things, but it's the new creature that we are made in Christ Jesus, and that's what He does to us. And may I remind you today, don't rush past that little phrase, created in Christ Jesus. Those two words summarize what salvation's all about. Once that faith that's been given to you, you put your trust in it and you believe on Jesus Christ, you are considered in Him. You are connected to Him. And that's what the Bible teaches us. That's why when God looks at me, He doesn't see me in my righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ because I'm in Him. That's the key. Don't forget that. It's that righteousness that's been imputed to us and given to us and resulting in our redemption and justification. We're accepted. We're secure. We're loved. We're all the things we looked at last week in Jesus Christ. And when you're saved, that's where we're put and that's where we stand. 89 times in the New Testament, in Jesus Christ or in Christ Jesus is used. I'm not talking about by or through, just in, because it's the central theme of what salvation's all about. The Bible says in Romans, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The book of Romans makes it clear you're either in the second Adam or you're in the first Adam. It's literally it. And when you're in that first Adam, you're in your sin, and you're going to give an account for that sin, and you're going to pay for that sin debt. But when you're in Jesus Christ, he's taken your place, he's paid your debt, he's done all those things. God's made you a new creature, and because of that, not only are you his masterpiece, you're also a new creature in Christ today. You belong to God twice today. The world belongs to him. Every person that's ever been born in this world belongs to him. But then sin messed everything up. And he bought us back. He redeemed us. And he bought us back. God's bought you twice. Think about that. You belong to him twice. And with that in mind, we see what God's done in us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Number three, unto good works. We are here to do good works. Now, we don't like to use the phrase good works at times, because there are many that say you must do good works to be saved. But what did the two verses right before this verse say? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I don't care if that's 1611 English or if that's the English of today. It's pretty simple to understand that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But once you've been saved, the purpose for your life is to do good works. Do you see that right there? That's what it says. The Bible's clear on this. Once we figure out who we are and what God's done, then we can figure out what we're here to do. And we see that right here. Someone said it like this: without a purpose, life is motion without meaning. God wants you to have purpose, and one of our main purposes is to do good works. They don't save you. They show that you're saved. They aren't a foundation or the root of salvation. It's the fruit of salvation. Does that make sense to you this morning? You see, the word good there means something profitable that benefits others. The word work involves effort, because by nature it's not easy for us to do good works. By nature, you know, children, I've got four. I don't remember when I was too little and things like that, but it's amazing. I have never had to teach my children how to do one bad thing. Wouldn't that have been nice if that's the way it was? They only do bad if you teach them those bad things. No, they know all the bad things. What does a parent try to do? Teach them the good things. That shows that we have a sin nature in us. And we try to teach them to do good things. God put you here to do good things. Say, I just don't know about all that, Pastor. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Does that help a little bit? How about 2 Corinthians 9:8? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's another one. How about Titus 2:14? Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. There it is again. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Good works. You know, in the book of James, was written, it's about practical Christian living. They didn't want to add the book of James to the Bible, those that put the canon together. It's amazing, though. You say, well, men decide what books were going to be in the Bible? Oh, God had it settled a long time ago. So men just had to come in agreement with God with what he already had decided. So, but they weren't going to include James because they said James contradicts. It's a faith by your works, where Abraham was justified by his faith in Romans. James is all about practical Christian living. And this is the thing. In this life, people do not see Jesus in you. You can claim to be a Christian all day long, but they can't see your heart. They don't know where you're at. But when you do good works, it proves your faith. That faith is alive. They see it. You see, I don't do good works to be saved. I should be doing good works because I'm saved. An orange tree produces oranges. That's brilliant, right? Brilliant stuff. A Christian should be producing Christian fruit. That's the way it should be. Your purpose, good works. When's the last time you just did something nice for somebody and you were good to somebody else? I want to jump ahead of myself. An application will cover more of those things there. Now, this is amazing to me as we look at this. Look at the rest of this verse. So we see, where's workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, look at the rest of verse number 10. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Literally, number 4, God has already prepared our paths. He's already laid it out for us. So God wants us to do good works, right? As a child of his. And he's already preordained, which God before ordained that we should walk. God's already established it and made it known. In his glorious grace, God has not only told us who we are, what he's done, and why we're here, but we see he tells us he's already planned in advance what we're supposed to do. Before ordained literally means to be ready beforehand. He's already got it planned out. God has those things ready. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God already has your path planned, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. They're already there. God has them ready. The good works and the things that we are to walk through in this life. That's why God told, remember last week we looked at Jeremiah? Before I formed thee, I knew thee, and I sanctified thee, and made thee a prophet. Or when David penned those words, how before my members were even together, you already had a plan and a purpose, and already ordained the way I'm going to go. That's what God's done. And as a child of his, you are his masterpiece this morning. You are recreated in Christ, made a new creature so you could do good things. And now that you're saved, do them. Because God's already laid out the path and given you. He's already laid it out for you. Pastor, I want to know my purpose. You have it. Good works. And you don't have to figure out how to do the good works yourself. They're already laid out before you. You just need to walk where God tells you to walk. Literally. Say, that's too simple. God doesn't do things very complicated. You know why he doesn't do it very complicated for us? He knows our frame. He remembers that we're but dust. Doesn't it say that in the scripture? He makes it simple. Religion and people complicate matters. The Bible's very simple in those terms. Now, don't get me wrong. There are complex areas. But when it comes to things like this, pretty simple, right before our eyes. With all that in mind, how do we live this? Number one, make sure your doing comes out of your being. When you're growing in grace, we can then give out grace. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Working for God, get this, it's an honor. It's a privilege. It's not a sacrifice. Those doing the yearly Bible reading, and I don't remember which one because I'm doing like 4 different ones with church people. But in one of them we're reading, and it's in the book of Mark just yesterday, and the disciples are like, Lord, we're giving up everything for you. And Jesus is like, you're gaining so much more. The family you're gaining, the life you're gaining, you don't lose out serving for the Lord. You gain. And it's so important that we make sure our doing comes out of our being and who we are. When the famed English architect Sir Christopher Wren was directing the building of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, some workers were interviewed by a journalist who asked them, "What are you doing here?" The first worker said, "I'm cutting stone for 3 shillings a day." The second one replied, "I'm putting in 10 hours a day on this stinking job." The third guy said, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build the greatest cathedral in Great Britain for the glory of God." The difference in the way they responded. And Christian, I would encourage you today, make sure your doing comes out of who you are in Christ. And don't be doing to try and find your worth. Far too many Christians, and I've seen it over and over again in Baptist churches. I have been a Baptist my whole life, so when I go after Baptists, I can go after a Baptist because I've been a Baptist my whole life. I don't go after Nazarenes, and I don't go after Lutherans or different ones because I've never been in those churches. They can figure that stuff out for themselves. But I've been a Baptist my whole life. And I've seen a lot of churches where they prey on people who are looking for acceptance and they give them a position, and that's where they find their being out of. That's wrong. You must find your being in Christ Jesus, and then your doing will follow. And you might start serving the Lord more if you would realize who you are in Him and start serving Him more, but that's... we can talk about that more later. Number one, make sure your doing comes out of your being. Number two, small is often bigger than the big. Sometimes we want the big things. We want everyone to see what we do. We want everyone to notice and acknowledge everything that we do. Pastor, I could have your title and I could... You don't see half the little things. No one knows about the 2 hours of fixing the plumbing the other day. I was a plumber the other day. I plunge toilets too. Do what I gotta do. Small things. Just worry about the small things. Don't worry about the big things. The verse on your thing is wrong, so you don't have to turn to it there. In Matthew 25, it talks about Matthew 10 they put there, but Matthew 25, it says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. That's why sometimes I want these big things and I want recognition. Little is, the Lord sees it. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord, He sees everything that you do. Do the small things. Oh, I want the big things. God's never going to trust you with big things till you handle the small things. Little things matter. Make sure you take care of those little things and follow Him. And God sees those things. How about this one, number three? Pray so you know what God has prepared for you. Didn't we just read there in Ephesians chapter number 2 that God's already preordained or before ordained that we should walk in them? So why don't you ask the Lord before your feet get out of your bed, Lord, help me to walk into those good works today. Lord, guide me. Help me today. You put your GPS on to go places to find out what traffic's like or to get to a destination. Why don't you start your God GPS in the morning? God, direct me to those good works. Help me in those areas. And, you know, there are times that things come up in our lives where maybe that's God trying to help us in those areas. So remember the other day I was in Staters, and there was this young man. He was buying flowers and a card, and I saw the card had Mom on it. And he's right in front of me, and, you know, everything's backing up behind us, and he's trying to use that Apple Pay thing on his phone, and it's not working. And he's tried like 6-7 times, and he's getting frustrated. I don't know if it's for his mom's birthday or what, or he was in trouble and he's trying to make up with his mom. I don't know what he was doing, but I just know he had a card for his mom and he couldn't get to work. He's getting so frustrated and there are people behind. Could you just hurry up? And he was going to leave them and leave, and he starts walking away. I'm like, you know what? I'll take care of it. I got you. Take them and go. And I said, and the lady at the cash, she's like, that was very nice of you. I said, well, the Lord's very good to me. I can be nice to people too. I thought it was only a $5 bouquet of flowers. It was a $25 bouquet. Oh, there. So I shouldn't have been so nice. I wouldn't have done it if I would have realized how expensive it was. But, you know, sometimes God puts you in places just to be nice and to show God's kindness to someone. Pray that God does that. You never know what God can do. The other night, my brother, he's a missionary, and He was leaving to go out of state to go traveling, and his car breaks down. And dumb younger brother doesn't have, I just called him a dumb younger brother, doesn't even have AAA, and he travels everywhere. And so I had to drive out to Banning, and I rode with the tow truck driver for an hour back to Chino. And I, first time I ever met this guy, he's a nice guy. He, not a Christian, not much church, but I got almost an hour of sharing seeds of the gospel with him the entire way. So maybe God just had that plan, that's where I needed to be. Or maybe I should have just said no and let my brother figure it out for himself. I don't know. But pray so that you know that God, and God does that. God prepares things for us. And go down those roads. How about this one? This is for those of you at work or those of you in college, whatever. Do good works at work or serve your fellow students. Or if you're retired, be nice to the nurse at the doctor's office or the pharmacist or wherever you are. Just be nice. Do good works. It's okay. Show kindness. Go out of your way for... When's the last time you went out of your way for somebody else? Show someone a little bit of kindness. All right, you're going to love this one. Number five. Walk across the room. Say, what in the world do you mean by that? I don't know if you realized, there are people sitting on that side of the room, and there's people here, and there's even people that sit in the side room. Sometimes we get stuck in our little sections and things. Do you know one thing I know this morning is that there are a lot of people sitting here, or at least some that are sitting here today, that are halfway smiling, acting like everything's okay, but they're having a tough time. And for someone to come to them and minister to them would mean the world to them this morning. So what does that mean? Get up from your seat and go be kind to someone else. Literally. That's my church point right there. You don't know what someone else is going through or what hard time they've had, and you just going up and talking to them or inviting them out to lunch or getting a cup of coffee with them this week, whatever the case may be, just leave your little chair space and go find someone else. Just do it. Walk across the room. It's amazing. The people over here don't bite. Well, Tony might. It's close. I don't know. Maybe, yeah. So gotta watch out for Tony. The people over here are friendly. It's okay. The people over here are friendly. Bridget, you gotta watch out for. She's my bulldog back there, but you gotta watch out for her. But literally, we're all nice people here. Why can't we go out of our way to walk? You say, but Pastor, that's kind of uncomfortable. Maybe uncomfortable for you, but you don't know what someone else needs this morning. But just a little word of encouragement could totally change. Walk across the room. At the mission, walk down the hall. You know, it could word it that way too. There's so many. Just go out of your way to show kindness to others. And how about this one? This is a good one. Just do the next thing. Just do the next thing. Sometimes we get overwhelmed because it gets complicated in serving and the things that we do. Just do the next thing. I remember people oftentimes, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, or it's almost every week. We'll say it's every week. People say, Pastor, what are we going to do with this? And it's like later on in the week. I'm like, it's Sunday. I'm just worried right now about what I'm doing right now. Like right now, my biggest concern is getting through the 10 o'clock service. Say, what are you going to worry about when the 10 o'clock service, or what are you going to focus on next? The 11:30 service. What are you going to do after that? Probably find some time to eat lunch and do a few things and come back tonight at 6. But what are you doing this next week? I don't know. Right now, I'm just doing the next thing. And the next thing this morning is one more service. Say, well, how are you going to do it? I don't know, because I haven't finished this service yet. Let's finish this one, and maybe the Lord will come back before the third service. Is my foot going to hurt then? Yes, because it's hurting now. I don't know what I'm going to do next service, but I'm just going to do it. It's the next thing. That's all you do. Just do the next thing. And sometimes you can plan it way out ahead. And I know there are some people. My wife, she loves organization. She loves all those things. And I know at times it frustrates her when she can't. But sometimes you can't have it all planned out. And when you don't, just do the next thing. And do that till you get to a spot to where you can plan it all out. Sometimes that's good advice right there. And other times, just do all of it and get it all planned out, and it'll make you feel better along the way. Number seven and lastly, be the one who stops and serves. You know, you ever see an accident or something happen on the side of the road or a fire or something, and your first thought is, I should call 911. What's your second thought? Someone else probably already did. So if everyone had that thing, someone else already did, then no one's going to call. Before the Good Samaritan stopped for that man that had been beaten, two people had stopped by, had passed right by. You be the one. Oh, Pastor, it's going to inconvenience me. Didn't God create you for good works? And could it be that God put that person in front of you for you to serve? I wouldn't want to miss an opportunity that the Lord has for me. And I know that creates another question. So when is the Lord created an opportunity, and when am I getting in my own way? I don't know. When I figure that one out, I'll tell you. And if you figure it out before me, you tell me. But you're his workmanship. You're his masterpiece. You've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God's already ordained that you should walk them and already laid them out and established them. We just need to get out and do what he's already got laid out. God's got some good works for you to do today. Let me ask you, are you going to go do them? Are you going to follow the way he wants you to go? Or are you going to do your own thing? Life's much better when you let the Lord have his way. Let him guide you and lead you where you need to go. Father,